by no one's demand but our own. And from our home office here in the Gulch, in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee, it is the 615 Sessions, brought to you by A to Z Sports Nashville and A to Z Sports Nashville.com. Buck Rising here with you. Very excited to be back with you on a Tuesday. Beautiful Tuesday here in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And very excited to share with you a conversation today with Titans punter Brett Kern, the MV punter, the GOAT, as it were, the best player, I think the most consistent player that the Tennessee Titans have had over the stretch of the last, 5 years at the very least. I know Brett is the longest tenured Titan. I should probably know that before I had him on to interview. But we didn't talk about football. We talked about Tiger Woods because Brett is a huge golf fan. We talked about Pat McAfee, former Colts punter, his performance at the NFL draft when announcing one of his former team's picks, and we had Brett grade the performance done by Pat McAfee in all his glory. And after that, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Pac-Man Jones because he's back in the news for cheating at a casino in the state of my youth, the state of my birth, Indiana. We will do all of that coming up on today's 615 Sessions, brought to you by A to Z Sports. But first, Brett Kern. Back here on the 615 Sessions, A to Z Sports, A to Z Sports Nashville.com. Buck Rising here with you. Thrilled to be joined on the line by the MV punter, Brett Kern, Tennessee Titans. What's going on, boss?
Not too much, yourself.
I'm hanging in there. I'm ready to get back into St. Thomas Sports Park. I'm ready to start bothering you guys in the locker room again. I hate this dead period between the draft and when rookie minicamp starts and OTAs, and we finally get to do stuff again, Brett.
Yeah, I know. It's it seems like the draft needs to be a little bit earlier, but I think the guys come out. Rookies come out next weekend for their camp, and then we can all be together and start working together as a full unit.
Yeah, what'd you make of the draft in Nashville a couple weeks ago?
I thought it was pretty crazy. Kind of reminded me of when the Preds were making that Stanley Cup run, and Broadway was just filled with people. But obviously, there's so many more people, downtown and across the river. I just think it's really cool for Nashville to be able to host an event like that, and it kind of shows the country that we can do that from, the Preds making the Stanley Cup run to the All-Star game, when the NHL was here a couple of years ago, to hosting a draft, and our city puts out and puts us on the map a little bit more, and I think it was a really, really cool event.
The Preds not being in the playoffs still is a little bit of a sore subject, it feels like. That ended too soon for everybody's tastes. But yeah, I mean the draft was fantastic, and I bring you on here for expert insight and analysis, Brett. Did you see your guy Pat McAfee's performance at the draft?
Welcome from West Virginia University, 2014 Colts Man of the Year and two-time Pro Bowler.
Do we have a seven-second delay?
McAfee.
He's Man of America, not Man of the Year. He's Man
Hello,
of America.
Hello, Nashville. I'm not going to say a single word about the Tennessee Titans record against the Indianapolis Colts because I was a punter, and there's no reason for me to talk about that. With that being said, we did not punt much against the Tennessee Titans, so you probably have no clue who I am to begin. 2 years ago, when I retired from the Colts, I retired alongside two greats, Robert Mathis and Joe Wrights. A couple months later, I watched the draft. Robert Mathis announced the pick, Joe Wrights announced the pick, and then an orangutan announced the fourth-round draft pick. I was replaced by a zoo animal. I was not upset about it because the orangutan was terrible at his job. With that being said, the Indianapolis Colts are the hottest team, not only in the AFC South, but the entire NFL. A young nucleus surrounding the Stanford nerd, Andrew Luck. Two All-Pros were drafted last year, 10 this year. And with the 89th pick of the 2019 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard, select future Hall of Famer, nice, linebacker from Stanford, Bobby Okereke. Okereke.
I did, yeah. Pat, I mean, he's a really funny dude.
He's the best, man.
You know, I remember when he was making his comedy tour across Indiana, was selling out venues and whatnot in the off season when he was with the Colts a couple of years ago. So he's a really funny guy, and he obviously had his moment to shine, and he took advantage of it and did it on the national stage.
Well, like the Drew Pearson thing in Philadelphia was funny a couple of years ago, and I can't remember who did it in Dallas last year, but it seems like McAfee nailed the dismount, right? Like, I think he's so perfect for the WWE. It was pro wrestler, like, the way that he pulled that off.
Yeah, I know. I talked to David Akers. I know last year he did something when it was in Dallas.
That's right,
you know,
David
and David Akers. David played for forever in Philly, so he got his moment to say something in front of Cowboys fans, and Pat got his moment, and his delivery was smooth. I love when he posts videos, on social media and stuff like that. So he's definitely some comedic relief.
I was disappointed, Brett, when he didn't get the Monday Night Football gig. Like, Booger McFarland is good at his job, and like Jason Witten was fine last year. I know he got a bunch of crap, but for me, selfishly, somebody who needs a lot of bells and whistles, as millennials do, like, I think Pat would have been so much more fun on ESPN this year.
Yeah, I mean, even as a sideline reporter, you know.
Like, right, just him into the broadcast somehow. Give us something with him.
I mean, Monday's already bad enough just coming off the weekend, and Mondays are pretty rough days for a lot of people. And to have some type of comedic relief like Pat on a Monday night to kind of finish your day, would definitely be a highlight. So he I don't know if we could handle him in the booth all the time, because I think I'd just be laughing the whole time. But, as a sideline reporter, or maybe Thursday Night Football, to cover us versus the Jags for the 10th year in a row on Thursday Night Football would be pretty fun.
How great would that be? Honestly, I need him to do something. I wish they would do more creative things like that in the broadcast booth. But again, that's just because I have a short attention span.
I don't know though. He's been posting videos of him kicking field goals and whatnot. So there might be a comeback for Pat McAfee to get back in the league. So we'll see how that turns out.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. We need more personalities like that in football, Brett. Hey, speaking of comebacks, I don't think I've talked to you since Tiger won his first major in over a decade last month at the Masters. Where were you? Like, how did you experience it, and did you cry?
Did I cry? I won't admit to that over the airways here, but yeah, I was.
It's all right.
I was locked in pretty good.
Brett, nobody's listening. It's fine. It's just you and me.
I watched, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and when they moved to the tee times on Sunday, we immediately went from church. We're going to the early service so that when church is done, we can catch this back nine of what could happen. So I was locked in. I think it's great for the game of golf for him to be playing the way he's playing. He seems to be staying healthy. And like I said, it's really good for the game for him to be able to compete at his age for what has happened to him and his body, and to win a major how he did. He dominated back in the 2000s, and there weren't players like Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas and Jason Day, some of these guys that can absolutely bomb the ball. I mean,
right.
Tiger was the guy that bombed the ball. And so now Tiger's kind of, I don't even know if he's, top 20 in driving distance. So he's doing it in a different way, which is pretty remarkable at 43 and how he's doing it. But it's great for the game. I mean, the PGA Championship's next week at Bethpage, where he's won before. The U.S. Open's a Pebble, where he's dominated there before.
For sure.
So I think he's got a little bit of a window to maybe catch Jack, and I'm excited that he's back into it and playing some really, really good golf.
Oh my God! I mean, I've never seen a more like all-encompassing, like good sports story like Tiger Woods, Brett. Like, it hits all the notes that you wanted to is somebody, you know, who self, like in sports, like my favorite thing is the stories like that. And I mean, I don't think there's ever, nothing has ever brought about more joy from more people like when he won. I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yeah, I mean, to go from, you know, I mean, Tiger's the reason why I got into golf. You know, when I was in high school.
A lot of people, not just you, for sure.
Yeah, in the early 2000s when, you know, it started becoming a little bit more popular on TV, and you see this guy, Tiger Woods, going out there smoking a golf ball and, you know, wearing red on Sundays to intimidate his opponents, and just dominated the way he dominated. For him to overcome all the things he's overcome, you know, most of it, some of it his fault, obviously, for his off-the-course issues, but, you know, just what he's dealt with, some of his injuries and the surgeries. And I tried to equate it with my wife. Just imagine Peyton Manning coming out of retirement right now and going to win a Super Bowl for a team when he hasn't played football in, you know, 2 years. And, you know, that kind of, you know, struck a bell with her. And she's like, wow, you know, that's amazing. And so for him to come back and to play competitive golf against the field, you know, at the Masters and the guys that are in that field is remarkable.
I know so many people, Brett, who went out and bought those red mock neck golf polos that Tiger was wearing just because he was rocking it on Sunday. Like, I know so many dudes who went out and bought one of those and wore them on the golf course the next weekend.
Oh, it's amazing. I've been fortunate enough to be able to go down to Augusta for the Masters multiple times.
For
and
sure.
I've been twice on a Saturday, Sunday, but the Sunday atmosphere down there with Tiger in the mix is unbelievable. And to see how many people dress up just like Tiger on Sunday, where they're wearing black shorts and red polos and a black hat, you know, with a T-dub on it, is a lot of grown men. It's the same as wearing like a Roman Yossi jersey to a Preds game. I mean, a lot of people dress up like Tiger Woods and follow him, and it's actually more enjoyable to watch it on TV because you don't have to worry about the crowds. But I do miss the peach ice cream sandwiches, though.
Oh, I hear the menu at Augusta is unbelievable. That's on the I mean, it should be on everybody's sports bucket list, but one that I want to check off soon for sure. He is Brett Kern. He is the Tennessee Titans punter, and he has a cool story up on TitansOnline.com that Jimmy Wyatt wrote about him wanting to leave a legacy. Appreciate your time, brother.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we got to talk about Pac-Man. Your boy is back in the news with yet another incident. As I mentioned at the top of the show, in the state of my youth, the state of my birth, Indiana, TMZ Sports, of course, had the story first because TMZ Sports is our greatest journalistic entity in 2019. And they're very, very often correct in a way that, to their credit, a lot of people have not been. And it's also because they pay for information. And everybody else, like ESPN, and all of us, I lump us all in the conglomerated sports media. TMZ pays for the information, and then the rest of us feed off of it and say, yeah, you know what, we're not going to pay for it, but can I have a little of whatever's falling off the back? That's just the way it works. But TMZ Sports gets the video Sunday showing Adam Pac-Man Jones adding to his bet at an Indiana casino on February 27th after winning a hand while playing blackjack, which is illegal. That led to a confrontation with the casino's guards and police, and Jones at one point slapped an officer's arm before being arrested. I mean, God bless Pac-Man. Like, this man, if he's nothing else, he is consistent. I don't know what 35-year-old Pac-Man Jones is doing in an Indiana casino. That seems like a very, very sad place for a 35-year-old former professional athlete to exist. The scene, I've seen that. I've been in an Indiana casino in the middle of February, and it is not a pleasant place. So this news is just now coming to us from February 27th, Anyway, Indiana casinos, February, just that general wintry months, I would avoid all of that because nothing good is going to come from that. But so here sits Pac-Man, who was suspended, as we remember, for the entirety of the 2007 season after multiple violations of the league's personal conduct policy. Didn't play in 2009. He has survived. I bet you didn't know that Pac-Man Jones was a Denver Bronco last year, that he was still playing professional football. Turns out he was. And he's a fascinating individual because, of course, we know that his Tennessee Titans tenure ended after only 2 years because of him being an idiot. And so he's still out here slapping the arms of police officers because he's been confronted about cheating at a casino. Like, I was talking to some people the other day about stories of Pac-Man coming into the league from former Tennessee Titans. And one of the stories that's out there is how scared even his teammates were of a rookie Pac-Man Jones who was coming into the locker room and threatening violence upon anyone who would dare question Pac-Man Jones. And so hopefully we're going to talk one of these former Tennessee Titans into coming on and telling Pac-Man Jones stories, because I would not deign to tell them myself, but they are comical and they are worth hearing. So hopefully we'll have that coming up for you in the coming months. It fascinates me that this dude could be this dumb for this long and still survive. Still survive in professional football. 12 years, Pac-Man Jones. God bless you. I mean, wasn't he just in the Pro Bowl? I think Pac-Man Jones was literally just in a Pro Bowl like within the last 5 years. It's insane to me. But anyway, so you can see in the video, and it's one of these things that we'll just have to say, Google this. You can see in the video that TMZ has that Jones places his bet, and when he realizes that he's won, he adds another chip that he's snuck under his hand that you can see from the above camera that's watching the table. So Jones got caught and eventually gave the money back, but it escalated because the cops are confronting him and the people who are working the casino floor are confronting him. He gets irate. He gets upset. He puts his hands in their faces and is giving them the finger just inches from like the casino security's noses. Like, the video is truly amazing for what Pac-Man Jones is. And so he's flipping them the bird directly in front of their faces. The officer goes to move Pac-Man's arm out of the way, and Pac-Man slaps the officer's hand to try and get him off him, and that is when they put him in the cuffs. Like, it is a masterpiece to behold. Pac-Man Jones, never change. Quickly, before we get out of here, because that's going to do it for us today, we're going to start doing positional previews, or I guess rookie previews, of each of the Titans' 6 draft picks. We'll do those with people from around the programs who know the players that the Tennessee Titans have just drafted well, as the Titans are getting ready to start rookie minicamp this coming weekend. I think we'll have availability on Saturday, so you probably won't hear any of that from me until next Tuesday. But I'm on my way to the Titans Caravan event. Rashawn Evans, Sharif Finch, Kamale Correa, and quarterback Marcus Mariota are all going to be there. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to chat with all of them for a little bit, and I'll bring you guys some stuff back for Thursday. But remember, positional, or rather rookie previews, if I can get my own, if I can get the words out of my mouth correctly, rookie previews coming up in the next couple shows. We'll try and do 2 a show just for the sake of time. But we'll start with Jeffrey Simmons and A.J. Brown coming up on Thursday. That's going to do it for us today here on the 615 Sessions. Many thanks to our guest, Brett Kern, Titans punter, for being generous with his time and stopping by. If you enjoyed that interview, we have done many, many more interviews over the course of these now 5 shows. If you would like to check out any of those interviews, all you have to do is rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That way you have access to our full archives, Apple Podcast, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. It's all there for your consumption, however it is that you like to consume your podcast. Just make sure that you're leaving us 5 stars on those ratings, wherever ratings are available. 4 stars just makes you a hater. That being said, I'm Buck Rising, reminding you to stay hot, Nashville. We'll talk to you Thursday, right here on the 615 Sessions, presented by A to Z Sports and A to Z Sports Nashville.com.